We're going to look at verse 11 through 14. There is a generation that curseth their father and doeth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from the earth and the needy from among men. That's reading those four verses there, and pray that God will bless the reading to our hearts. Let's bow our heads and have prayer. Our Father, we truly come to say thank you for the day and the blessings of it. And thank you, Lord, we come to the house of God and for the singing of the songs and for the blessing of testimonies that you have answered prayer, others have prayed, and we thank you and praise you. God, that you are on the throne, that you're in control, and that you answer prayer, and that you do help us along the way. We thank you for Calvary saving us, the greatest thing that ever happened to us. But then, Lord, you take care of us and help us along the way. We bow our unworthy heads and say, praise the name of the living God for all your blessings, for who you are and all you do. Then, Father, I know there are those that have been bereavement and are in bereavement now. I pray you'd help them, encourage their hearts, and help them through the sorrow. I know that you're the great comforter. And then those who have sickness in their families and some that are truly need help, I pray for them. And thank you, Lord, for those you have touched, but there's others who need that touch. And, Father, that we by day need the grace of God. And, Father, we realize that Paul prayed one time, and you answered his prayer, but didn't touch his body to heal it, but said, I give you grace. And I'm glad, God, you give grace where it's needed. And I pray in Jesus' name now, as we look in the Word of God, I need your grace to help me. I need the power of God to preach. I need you to illuminate my mind. Help me to think and forget about everybody and everything else. And just center in on the Word of God that you have for us here today. Help us be honest and faithful with the Word of God. And do that would please you and bring glory to you, then I would not fail to pray for that one that's lost and without you. I'd ask you in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, conviction be real, be the day that you'll knock on their heart's door, and Father, they would be under such conviction they'd want to get saved and born in the family of God. We'll praise you and thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. There is a generation, that's what we're talking about today. In fact, is we can say there is a generation, we could title it, This Is the Generation. And in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass. Now, in context of that verse, he talking about the fig tree putting forth, you know, summer's nigh. And we'd have to say that Israel is, in Scripture, the fig tree pictures Israel. And she certainly has put forth and is there and has put forth her buds. And we realize the fact that Jesus is coming back and that his coming is closer every day. It has to be, because he hadn't come yet. It has to be closer today than it was yesterday. And so we know that he's coming, and it is real that Jesus Christ is coming back. And we're living in perilous times, difficult times. And this generation that we now find ourselves living in, I pray that God would help us to recognize that God put us here in this generation, and God knows all things. And I cannot get away from that thought. I preached some time ago about, for such a time as this, that God let us live in this generation. And I think about that. What a great privilege. Now, God could let us be born anytime he wanted to. That's God's business, when what generation we come into. But God let us be born in a generation that needs a light, a generation that needs the gospel, a generation, every generation does. There's never been a generation that doesn't. But this generation certainly has surpassed generations of the past in what we're seeing and happen, unless it be in the days of Noah. And God says, as it was in the days of Noah, so we identify with that generation and a wicked generation. And so I'm thinking about that. Man tries to answer it with humanism. And we've been bombarded. Our schools are bombarded. Our world is bombarded. Workplaces are bombarded with this thing about humanism. Humanism tries to answer the dilemma of human existence and the dilemma that we're in. And you say, well, what dilemma is that? The dilemma that man's in is he don't know where he came from. He doesn't know what he's doing here. And he doesn't know where he's going. I say that's a pretty big dilemma. I believe man's in a great dilemma because he does not know those three things. I'm glad, hallelujah. I know where I came from. I know what I'm doing here. And I know where I'm going. I say, praise God. That's pretty good things to know. I may not know a whole lot of other things, but I know those three things. And man's dilemma is he doesn't know. I'm talking about by and large out here in the world. He's looking, he's trying to find. And humanism built on some crumbling columns anyhow. It's built on atheism. And atheism says there is no God. And the Bible says a man says that no God's a fool. Fool said in his heart there is no God. And so they're making matters worse when they say that. And they can't explain anything without that. And so they're in a mess. Then if you believe in atheism, then you go to evolution. And evolution says everything just evolved from something. And that something come from somewhere. And they don't even know where that somewhere is or where that something's come and what that something was. And I think that's a crazy idea to think that it all just evolved and happened. And by chance, it happened to wind up like this. And everything in the universe is in the right order. And the sun's the right distance. The moon has the right gravitational pull. And that we have the right seasons. We have rainfall. And we have food to grow. And it's odd, isn't it? That all just fell into place. And man just happened to come along. And we just happened to be here. And then man gets all messed up because he don't know where he come from, nor what he's doing, nor where he's going. That's what humanism amounts to. But then they have this thing about morality. That is, they don't have any absolute standards. That's messed us up. Situational ethics, you know. And we it all depends on the situation, what's right or wrong. God has some absolutes in his word that I am thankful that there are some absolute truths. And there's some absolute things that are wrong in the word by the word of God. I'm glad that we have an authority in the word of God, a book written, given to us, that we have to follow and tell us the answers to the questions I just asked. That man doesn't know, but he also tells us in his word what is right, what is wrong, and how we ought to live, and what we ought to do. And I say, praise God, isn't that good? To have a word that we know is true and tells us about that. Let me give you the fourth column that humanism built on. I'm just giving an introduction. I'm kind of enjoying the introduction right now. And deification of man. And man tries to be his own God. And he's trying to say that he's God and everything evolves around him. And he can make everything work the way he wants it to work and the way he sees it. And, of course, all the modern things that have come along and inventions and man's knowledge of computers and all that, trying to make everything work and figure everything out and all that. And so man's trying to be his own God. And so if he believes there is no God, and then he can be his own God, and he can make his own decision because he knows absolutes, so he can doesn't have to answer anybody, so he can make his own things, what's right and what's wrong, and go his own way, and he doesn't have anybody to answer to. And so he's in a mess. And if we came from monkeys, it doesn't make any much difference anyhow. And so there we are. But I'm glad today, thank God, there's an answer to all of that. And God is the answer. There is a God in heaven. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that answers a whole lot of questions for me. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And you have to start there, or you don't have any starting place at all, because in the beginning there is God, and God is, and we will answer to God. We did come from God. He did create us. He did put us here, and he does have some absolutes. He does have some answers, and his word is true. And so therefore today, we need to look at it in this generation that we're now living in. We need to hear what he has to say about this generation. Now, I realize the fact that we're moving toward revival meeting, have it scheduled, and there's several things I want to preach and think, but I couldn't get away from this. And God, I said, we need to look at this generation. So I believe it'll help us see the need of revival if we see this generation that we're. Hey, by the way, let me plug this in right here. This generation is dependent on us. It can't depend on the government, and it can't depend on the socialist way of thinking, and it can't depend on the humanist way of thinking. It can't depend on anything else. There's no other answer. So this generation is dependent upon people that know God, believe the word of God, and have the answers for them. They're in a dilemma. They're in a mess. They don't have any answers. And here we are sitting in the house of God with the word of God and have the answers for this generation and the help they need. I mean, we have help. I'm glad, praise God. You say, preacher, we can't help anybody. I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I know who has the answers. I know who can help them. And therefore, I can help them because I can point them to the one that can help them. Amen. If somebody needs something and nobody tells them where to get the help, they never get the help, then somebody that knows where they can get the help, it's their fault if they don't get the help because they didn't tell them where to get the help. Y'all still with me? Amen. So we need to tell them where to get the help and get that, and that'll help them. So today, you and I, we're that crowd. If we're saved, if we really know Jesus, if we're really right with God, if you're not saved, you're in a mess because you don't have the answers, and you're going to hell without God. And you say, preacher, you ought not to tell people that. Jesus told people that. Fact is, he told them more about going to hell than he did about going to heaven. And so if Jesus said that, I believe we ought to say that. And certainly we need to tell people to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, because they will go to hell without Christ, and hell's a real place. And you say, Sunday mornings, we don't need to talk about that. We need to talk about that Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, any other time. People, and hell's a real place, and people without Christ go to hell and burn forever and forever and need a good dose of old-time salvation. Preacher, if we just get them in a better environment, and if we just teach them a better way of life and just help them know that they can get better education, do this and that. No, what they need is good dose of Holy Ghost conviction and show them they need Jesus Christ, and he is the answer for them. And he is the answer. Well, I got to get to my message, and I at least give you part of it today. But this generation, and here in the Bible, verse number 11 said, there is a generation. And I just tell you this generation we now live in. There is a generation that curseth the father and doeth not bless their mother. Now I call this generation without natural affection. This generation without natural affection. It don't take you long to see that. We live in a generation that's without natural affection. Romans 1:31, he'd been saying a whole lot of things there in Romans 1. But in verse 31, he said, without understanding, covenant breakers, and without natural affection. And that's this generation that you and I are now living in. I want you to turn with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is well-known scriptures that we read over and over in our generation because they fit it so well. But I want to read it again to you. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse number 1, following verses, listen to it. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now in the last days, and we are in the last days, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, hasty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. from such turn away. What great verses I just read to you. We have heard them, and we've heard them, and we've heard them. But I want you to hear them today. I want you to really hear. Jesus said one time, they hear, but they do not hear. And I believe many times we read these verses and we hear them read, and we hear them with our ears, but we do not hear them with our heart. And we need to hear what God's really saying in these verses. And you and I see it all around us, and we're becoming accustomed to it. We're getting used to it, that people are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You let a little something come up, it'll keep people out of the house of God because they love pleasure more than they love God. Without natural and disobedient to parents and unthankful. Hey, we're in all that today. And men are proud and they're coveted boasters. And without natural affection, verse number 3, without natural affection. I want you to know men are without natural affection. I want you to look in Isaiah chapter number 3. Isaiah chapter number 3. I want you to see this. We read it so much in the New Testament. I wanted to get in the Old Testament and give you this. Isaiah chapter number 3 and verse number 8. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. And he's saying they're speaking wrong and their doings are wrong. They're against God, the Lord, and provoke his eyes of his glory. Then notice verse 9. The show of their countenance doeth witness against them. They declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with him, and for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked. It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors. Women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Now hold your place in Isaiah back in our text in verse number 11. There is a generation that curses their father and doeth not bless their mother. I find in Isaiah chapter 3, without natural affection, I call it sissy men, spoiled children, and you see in the last of it, silly women. You say, preacher, you ought not preach like that. I believe you should. We're living in a generation of sissy men. Amen. And what he's saying here is, without natural affection. Over there in Romans chapter 1, and I can't help myself, I get tore up over this thing of people that are supposed to have good minds, I mean supposed to be intelligent people, talk about that we ought to have marriage among the same sex. And that's the most stupid thing I believe I ever heard in my life. Amen. And how crazy can you get anyhow? And they're supposed to be intelligent. And they're supposed to know something and talk like that. And you say, preacher, you ought not preach against that because it's not politically correct in our day to do that. Politically correct or not politically correct, I am biblically correct in preaching against homosexuality. Amen. And any young person that ever even leans that way, I want you to get a good kick somewhere and God help you and that you may see yourselves and realize what you're getting into. Amen. God calls it sin, abomination in the eyes of a holy God. I still believe it is. Amen. And you let TV say what it wants to and let school programs say what they want to and teach what they want to. But God help us to realize the fact we're raising a generation of people that has no conviction about what marriage really is. And there is no such thing as marriage outside of a man and a woman, amen, being joined together in holy matrimony, amen. And we need to understand that truth and that right. And we are so bombarded with that ungodly truth, ungodly lie, that we begin to accept it as truth. and say, well, they can believe what they want to and live like they want to. There's a whole lot of people that are, they don't believe that way. They don't live that way. But they begin to think that way because they're bombarded with it so much. They begin to accept it and afraid to say anything about it. I say, hogwash on the whole cloud. We need to say sin is sin, and sin is sin, and abomination is abomination in the sight of a holy God. God help us, amen. And, let's take it. I believe boys ought to act like boys. Ought to cut their hair like boys. Ought to look like boys. Ought to play like boys. Amen. Ought to pick up a toy gun, play with it once in a while, amen. You say, preacher, I don't know how to play with guns. Well, I used to play cowboys, and I was little, got me a stick horse and had me a holster and a gun in it and had a good time, didn't warp me a bit. I hadn't wanted to shoot but a few people since then. Amen. You say, preacher, you ought not say that. Well, I'll be truthful, amen. But anyhow, I'm telling you, you need to act like, amen. Be a man. Stand up like a man. Act like a man. Amen. Stand with some backbone for God and live like God wants you to live. And amen. Take your stand where you ought to stand and stand there and support children. And boy, we're in that category today. Amen. And children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This first commandment with promise, as your days may be long and nerve. That's Ephesians chapter 6. And verses 1-4, something like that. But anyway, the Bible says we ought to do that. And children today run the place. Instead of parents run the place, children run the place. Amen. And I believe y'all raise your children to fear you as well as God. Amen. When my dad said stand up, I didn't ask him why. I asked him how high he wanted me to stand. Because if he'd asked me why, I'd had further to stand up from than where I was when I started. You got it. And so children tell parents what they're going to do. Well, I'm not going to do that. Well, why not? Well, I don't want to. Well, I think you ought to take them in the back bedroom and let them know who's in charge. And they ought to have a godly fear of you, that you are in charge and that you run the show. Amen. That's good preaching even where you preach it. Amen. It is, and that's the way it ought to be. And children ought not to run things. They're not in charge, and they're a bunch of sport brats today. I love children, by the way. I don't leave the wrong impression here. I love children, and they're precious, and I kid about children sometimes around here, but I love children. I appreciate children. I love them, but I believe today in this day and time, you see them in the stores. And they'll be telling mom and dad to hush and shut up and all that kind of stuff. Amen. I've heard it in places of business. And I wanted to pick them up and yank a knot in them. Anybody here from social services? If you are, you go somewhere else right now. Or don't pay attention. Well, pay attention, but you're off job. Amen. You're not working. And the society is trying to tell us. I heard somebody say the other day something about, well, they spank their children. I thought, well, praise God. Hallelujah. They ought to spank their children. You say, preacher, now, you're going to get yourself in a heap of trouble if you start talking about spanking children. I may get myself in a heap of trouble, but it's a heap of truth. Amen. Preaching truth has never been popular, by the way. It never has been the most popular thing on the block. But children need spanking, and they need correcting, and they need to learn that when you say something, you mean it. Amen. I'm talking about without natural affection. But let me go take this thing a step further. In our generation that we live in, and now we have this thing that men need to be men, children, and we have this thing of silly women here given to us. Let me give you that, and then I'll give you the rest I'm going to give you. Talks about verse 9, that's Solomon. But in verse number 12, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Women rule over. Look in verse 16. Moreover, the Lord saith, because, and I'm still in Isaiah chapter 3,
Verse 16. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, walk with stretched forth necks, wanting eyes, walking and menacing as they go, making a tingling with their feet. He's saying these kind of women, they even walk silly. They act silly, and they tinkle with their feet, and they got this thing about them. They're something. What's wrong with being just a godly woman? Amen. What's wrong with that? Amen. And beauty's only skin deep anyhow. That's right. And I want you to know today, a godly woman is of great price. Amen. So you don't misunderstand me. Look in Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doeth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 26, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household. It is not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. He's talking about a godly woman, a good woman, a right kind of woman. Amen. Thank God for godly women. Amen. And God help us to have some godly women in our day. And a live godly, and sister over here was testifying about women's prayer room, testifying about women helping her and praying for her. And I say thank God for godly women. Amen. And we need some godly women in our day. We got enough Jezebels. Jezebels, they're mother Jezebels. Amen. Yeah, I ain't preached on Jezebel in a long time. But Jezebel, she wants to run everything. And Jezebel thinks she's the center of attraction. She's ought to have her way. And she don't like the preacher preaching. And she gets mad at him when he preaches that man's the head of the house. And that a man is to rule over. And they don't like that. You say, preacher, that's old archaic stuff, and that's old-fashioned. That ought not be in our day and our time. We've done outgrown that. That's our problem, amen. If we ever get back having families like we ought to have families where a man's in charge, now, man, if you don't love God and you're not the right kind of man, you're not saved, living for God, you can't run a household anyhow. You don't know what's going on, so you're in a mess, amen. And I'm not one of these kind that says, women, you ought to bow down and men ought to walk on you and all that kind of stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. You're to be a helpmeet to your husband. Encourage, amen. Something said yesterday afternoon late, I was up at Brother Garrett's at Brooklyn Baptist Church. They honored him. He'd been preaching 50 years, and so they had a get-together for him, and we had a service, and I was in that service, and somebody was speaking and talked about the preacher's wife, and thank God for the preacher's wife. I thank God for mine. Now, sometimes I'd like to knock her around. No. But she's my wife, amen. And there've been times I've come in, I've said, I can't take it anymore. I'm not going to handle that situation any longer. I'm tired of it. I quit. And I've talked like that. And she'd look at me and she'd say, you can't quit. You can't quit. And she'd make me ashamed of myself. And I go somewhere and pray about it and get straightened out. But she's done that more than one time. And I thank God for her, amen. And I praise God for her. And by the way, she loves you and cares about this church. And I appreciate that. And any man that ever amounts to anything for God has a wife that's somewhere behind it, loves God, and she's never gotten in the way of me doing what God called me to do. And I've left many a time on a trip to preach a revival, and she would be lonely and left there, and she didn't like it particularly, but I'd start to even be praying about moving somewhere sometime and didn't know where what to do, but I'd be talking to her about it. And I said, what do you think? And she'd say, you do what God says to do. And you can't buy that with rubies and diamonds. And that's beyond money. Amen. You do what God called you to do. And I say, amen. And I say, thank God for that, don't you? And my heart does safely trust in her. I have no doubt about her. She's not going to hurt me. She's not going to hurt my children. And she's not going to do anything wrong. Anybody else that tries to talk about or hurt them, she will fight to the end. I mean, now she may be little, but she's like a bandy rooster. You get her stirred up, she's stirred up. And she'd make the blood fly, amen, before she quit and give up on something that she really believes in and fight for. And my heart, I've told y'all before, but I'll never forget when she worked, Brother David Duncan, chiropractor, she was working in the office down there. She called me one day. Boy, she's tore up. And she said, "Ray," and man, I knew something wrong. My heart sunk. I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "This man asked me if I wanted to go to the beach with him." I said, and here's where I messed up. I said, "Are you going?" She said, "Right." I knew she wasn't going. That's why I asked her that. I thought I'd pick at her a little bit because I knew she was tore up and she was all upset over it and tore her out of the frame because somebody didn't even say it to her. And I just kind of egged it on. But she didn't like that either. So I figured out real quick it wasn't time to egg anything on. It's time to help her and say, "Well, I knew you wasn't going," and I, you know, put the lovey-dovey stuff on. Because she wasn't in no mood for no kidding at that time, I can tell you that. And so, but what I'm trying to say is we ought to safely trust in our wife or husband, amen. But we're living in a generation that has no natural affection. And you don't know what they're going to do, amen. And how they're going to act and all that. And if you listen to news, and Brother Ronnie Gilbert said something one time, and I've thought about it so often, and trying to watch the news, it's like watching a Wild West show. Somebody shot somebody, and somebody choked some child to death, or they beat some child to death, or they forsook some child. They're killing babies. And they're beating up on old people, and they're doing all that kind of stuff. Hey, that's without natural affection. There was a day and a time when people, even that was ungodly, they wouldn't kill a baby, and they wouldn't mistreat an old person. Amen. Hey, the time when we had people like our generation. I'm saying we're living in this generation today that the Bible talks about. That is a generation without natural affection. They don't care. They have no love for it without that. And you and I, God put us here in this generation to be a light in this world right now. And I say amen. And amen. Well, I didn't know. Never mind what time it is. But this generation needs some help. And God put us here to help this generation. What I'm trying to tell you is, I'm going to bring it to close right there and say this. How's your family? How's your life? How's your individual life? Is it lived godly or ungodly? What kind of wife are you? What kind of husband are you? What kind of child are you? What kind of young person are you? Are you one of those living in rebellion? Are you one of those living for God? Are you one of those that want to live for God and be godly? Let God have his way? Honor your father and your mother? Are you one of those that want to live your way, have it your way? When Burger King used to have it, had one of those fast food places had a slogan some time ago with Burger King, and they said, "Have it your way. Otherwise, you could order any way you wanted, with onions or without." I always wondered where the meat was. Not just Burger King, but the rest of them too. But anyway, you know, have it your way. I thought about pulling up my answer. My way is put some meat on the thing. But how is it down at your house? How is it down at your individual life? How is it with you and your children? How is it with your life? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have to open the Word of God and endeavor by the grace to preach. Lord, thank you. And Lord, I am concerned about this generation. You said there is a generation. Lord, we're in that generation that needs help. Help us to be a blessing and help to this generation. In Jesus' name, amen.